Good morning, praise God that we can meet in His name so freely. And trust you had a good night's rest. How good it is to come to the Word of God. It is a refreshing Word. No matter what state you come, whether you're feeling holy, whether you're feeling like a sinner unclean, whether you're tired or whether you're full of life, the Word of God is life. And every time you open this book, the Word of life speaks, the Word of truth. And that's what we're coming to this morning. The camp theme is "Be still and know that I am God." And this morning, I want to share with you some passages that are along the line, that are along the lines of "Be still and hear my voice." How can we discern the voice of God in the multitude of voices? How can we discern the direct word of God to us, how it is applicable to us, and how we know that God is speaking to us by His Spirit, that we may know Him and be still? So let us pray as we come to His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning that Your Word is truth and Your Word is life. Thank You, Lord, that You are the living God and You have the living Word. In fact, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld Him as the only begotten of the Father. And Lord Jesus, we come to You this morning and we want to ask that we could be able to touch You this morning. We ask that we would be able to see You this morning. And we ask that we would be able to hear from You this morning, even as the disciple who leant upon Your chest said, "Yes, I have known Him. I have heard His voice. I beheld Him and I touched and I handled of the Word of life." And we pray this morning we may be able to also, Lord, touch and see that the Lord is good. Yes, Father, we pray, work in hearts. This morning we pray by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to look at a familiar passage of text, 1 Samuel chapter 3. It is the calling of Samuel. And this morning I want to particularly focus around how the Word of God comes to us, and also the vessel, the prepared vessel, the person that you must be to receive the Word. And to dwell in the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're reading the first 10 verses. "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days, there was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here I am.' So he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' And he," that is Eli, "said, 'I did not call. Lie down again.' And he went and he lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' He answered, 'I did not call, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you did call me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down. And it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" Have you opened the scripture and you felt as if you're the only person on planet Earth that God is speaking to? Have you ever had the sense when you've opened the Word of God that you are personally and intimately involved in a relationship with the Creator of the universe? That He has spoken to you directly, applicably, into your moment, into time and space, right into your situation? Do we hear from God? What is He saying to us? What is God saying to you, friend? As a father, he wants to draw near to us. As a saviour, he befriends us. He wants to be able to communicate with us. Which father does not want to communicate with his earthly child and have fellowship? How much more so the Father, which is in heaven? He wants to speak to us. He wants your communion. He wants your fellowship. And our fellowship is with him through the Word of God in the Spirit. Are we zealous for the Word of the Lord? Are we hungry and thirsty? And when we've heard that voice and when we've come to that Word, does everything else pale into insignificance around us? People of God, we need to hear from God. We need to hear from Him directly. In this dying world, there is only one remedy, and that is the living Word, friend. In a world that is dying and is full of dearth and death, we need to come to the living Word and not skim this surface, but hear a word that's direct. Hear a word that speaks. We need to discern. We need to hear the voice of God. Now Samuel, a disclaimer at the beginning. Now Samuel heard an audible voice. But please don't go looking for audible voices or calling for audible voices. A lot of people get mixed up in a lot of dangerous doctrine and teaching. Because if you go searching for an audible voice, you'll get a counterfeit. You'll get a counterfeit.
That's right.
You get the angel of light disguising himself. People have visions of Mary, visions of Jesus. Jesus standing by their bedside speaking to them. Friend, if you go looking for that, you're looking in the wrong place. We have the living Word of God and we have the Spirit of God. What did Jesus say? We have not followed cunningly. I beg your pardon. I missed that one. What did the Lord Jesus say in the book of John? John 14, 25 and verses 25 to 27. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. If you're a believer this morning, you have the Comforter. You have the Holy Spirit of truth. There is no half salvation. You are fully complete in him. Oh, you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And even if 1,000 voices rise up and say to you, you're not saved, you say, I am. I am. Not because of what I have done, but because of the Spirit of God, the witness of the Spirit within me, and the faith that I've received, saving faith. He, the Spirit of truth, he shall, what? He shall teach you all things. Teach you all things. And what else did Jesus say? He will bring all things to your remembrance. How is it that when you're walking along life's way, suddenly a verse comes to heart, comes to mind, and it applies in that very given instant? That's the voice of God. That's the Word of God coming into time and space, into your situation, and personally edifying or convicting or exhorting, whatever its work might be in that given moment, personally to you. The voice of God. He shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Friend, in the stillness, in the quietness, we hear the voice of God. In the place when we are emptied of self and sin, in the place when we empty ourselves of self and pride and our own voices and thought life, empty of self and empty of sin, we can hear the voice of God. We can hear the Word of God. Does he speak to you, friend? Do you hear the Word of God? When you have your quiet time, when you're in the car, when you're walking along life's way, does the Spirit of God take the Word of God and speak to you? Friend, I would not trade that for anything in this world. I would not trade the voice of my Father in heaven for the kingdoms of this earth. The kingdoms of this earth. It is most precious to hear the voice of God. Consider this in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter, writing to the church, says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, This is not a joke. This is not a nursery rhyme or children's story. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, the gospel is not some cunningly devised fable. It's not something man could have thought up. Friend, this is the word of truth. But Peter says we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory, that is Jesus, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That was the audible voice. Peter said, this voice which came from heaven we heard. This was an audible voice. There I was in the mount when we were with him, the close ones. When we were with him in the holy mount, I heard the voice, I heard the audible voice of the living God say, this is my beloved Son, this is the testimony of God, the testimony of the Father of his own Son. It's not a cunningly devised fable. It's not a story. Though so few believe it, friend, it's not a story. Though you walk out into this world, though you walk out into society, and you might be in the minority you are, friend. You might be in the 1%. This is not a cunningly devised fable. Friend, I weep. I weep when I pick this up. $9. $9. $9 at Kuro. I weep when I handle the word of truth. Friends, this world is going to hell in a downward spiral because they have rejected the author of life. They've chosen death. They've chosen it. God offers life. He says, I set before you two ways, life and death, and they choose death until their hearts become so hard, they can never return. They go past the point of no return. We heard about Pharaoh's hardening of his heart yesterday morning. He gets to the point of no return and the heart is hardened. And there's no way back, friend. If you're sitting under the gospel this morning, do not harden your heart, as in the provocation. Do not harden your heart. This is no cunningly devised fable, Peter says. We heard the audible voice. This is my beloved Son, Jesus Christ, in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice we heard, it came from heaven when we were with him in the holy mount. But listen to this. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. You don't need to go running around looking for voices and listening for voices and looking for visions. We have a sure word of prophecy whereunto you would do well that you take heed. Do well that you would take heed as a light shining in a dark place. You know the word of God. It is light. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know it is a sword. It is a sword. The word of truth, friend. A light shining in a dark place until the day dawn. And the day star arise in your hearts. Who is the day star? Who is he? Jesus. Oh, that he would arise in some heart this morning. That the day star would arise in your heart. Knowing this first, Peter says, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. This is not what man has concocted. He has not taken the word of God from God, the prophets and those men who took this word direct from God. They did not put their own interpretation to it. They penned the words of life directly from God. It's not of any private interpretation. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Aren't you glad of that? If the will of man was involved, wouldn't it be a mess? It would look like the Quran. What a mess. Have you looked into that book? Just skim the surface when you try and win a Muslim. I have a Muslim friend who he came from. Actually, he came out of a Turkish Muslim family. He came to Christ. He said, when I read the Quran, man, it's a storybook. It's a baby's book. It does not make sense. It's filled with contradiction, filled with error, filled with absolute ludicrous suggestions. It is not the Word of God. That book came by the will of man. This book came by the will of God. This is a sure word of prophecy, and the prophecy came in old time not by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's what we have this morning, friend. I want to consider, with the backdrop of Peter's argument, with the scripture and the calling of Samuel, I want to consider this book this morning, the Word of Life. The first thing I'll say about it, friend, is that the words of the Lord are eternal and they are true. They are dependable. They are of the Spirit of truth. 1 Peter 1:25, the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of the Lord endures forever. Other books will come and go, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 34, assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but what? But my words. What did the Spirit say? He will take the words and bring into remembrance all things whatsoever I've spoken to you. My words will by no means pass away. Heaven and earth, friend, will pass away. This earth will melt in the elements, but the word of God will never pass away. Psalm 119 and 160, verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever. This is the eternal word. Samuel heard it. 2 Samuel 7:28, Samuel says now, as an elder man, and now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true. He didn't discern it at first. He thought it was Eli, but now he says, thou art that God, and thy words be true. They are true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Can we establish this fact, friend? That this book off the shelf is not man's book. This is God's word, and he speaks through it today. He makes it real. He makes it applicable. The psalmist loves the words of the Lord. The psalmist said in 119, thou art my portion, verse 57, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Has the word of God been hidden in your heart, friend? How sweet are thy words in verse 103 of the same psalm. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. We heard yesterday morning, taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you taken a bite? Have you really tasted and seen that the Lord is good? You've got to step over the threshold. You've got to step into eternal life. There is no half-hearted gestures. Then alone you will know and be able to say with the psalmist, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Further he says in verse 130, it gives understanding unto the simple. There are many other verses that I could quote this morning. The word of God is in agreement, friend. To discern the voice of God, this word must be in agreement. What did God tell Moses? At the mouth of how many witnesses is a matter established? Two or three. And the word of God, co-text, contributing, working together, confirms. Deuteronomy 17:6, at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses, shall he that is worthy of death be put to death? Look at the severity of that. At the mouth of two or three witnesses Do we see the Scripture and the witness of Scripture? One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity. Not one. It's not the will of man. This thing is sure. The voice of God is sure. At the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. We have the witness of the word. We have the witness of truth. If it will not hear thee, take thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Matthew 18. Look at this word. This is the third time I'm coming to you, in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. God has not left us as orphans. God has not left us to our own devices. God has not left us to our own interpretations. He has given us His Holy Spirit and His Holy Word. Will you be still and hear the voice of God? Will you still yourself and hear the Word of God? God's Word is direct. It speaks into your situation. It is established. It's an established fact. It is backed up by witnesses. It is a written account of prophecy. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. When you come to Scripture, do you have that relationship with God? Does He speak to you face to face? Do you behold this Scripture? He said, I am no longer your enemy. I'm no longer against you. I'm your friend. I've befriended you. Sinners alienated from Him, He has befriended. He is brought near the blood of Christ. We can come to Him, confide in Him. As a man speaks unto his friend, God can speak to you this morning. Won't you cherish it? Won't your Bible time be precious? Won't your Bible time be real? Won't your time in Scripture not be a skimming over, but a reality and a meeting with God face to face? Face to face. That is what God wants. That is what He delights in. Friend, you've got to be tender to God. You've got to be humble. You've got to be tender to hear His voice. You know, God says that the proud He knows are far off. He delights in the meek, though. He delights in the meek. His word is applicable, friend. Look at Samuel. I want to talk on Samuel. What kind of a vessel was he to receive the word? Now, this is a calling, yes, unto the great office of prophet, but it is so applicable to us. I want to consider Samuel this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 3, our main text. The boy Samuel. Let's look back in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and look at his upbringing. Look at the cry of his mother. Look at the God-fearing parent that he had. 1 Samuel 1 and verse 9. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Look at the mother of this man, of this boy who becomes the man, the prophet. She is a God-fearing woman, but she is also a selfless woman. We need a bit of passion as Christians, friends. We need a bit of desire. We need a bit of anguish. We need a bit of tears. We need a bit of weeping. Your children can be swept away by this world. Do you realize that? Do you realize that just because you're saved and you're a parent, that it doesn't qualify automatic salvation for your children? Are you weeping? Are you in anguish? Have you handed your children to God? Have you handed them to God? Are they in God's hands? Or are they in the hands of man? Friends, look at the desire. Look at the desperation. Give me children or I die. Not just any children. Not children for pleasure. Not children that I may rejoice in them and have pleasure. No, a child I may consecrate to God. A child I may give to God. That is the heart cry. That is the heart cry of the parent whose life is on the altar. That is the passionate Christian's desire. Look on me, Lord. Do not forget me. If you give me a child, I will give him to the Lord. I will give him. Look at the consecration. I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. Look at the single-mindedness. Friends, I could sum up this way. This woman had a single-minded, holy dedication to the Lord. She had a single-minded, holy dedication to the Lord. If you want to hear from God, friend, you must be wholly devoted to Him, completely, entirely. Give yourself to Him. Timothy is exhorted to meditate on these things. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Give yourself entirely to them. When Samuel was weaned in verse 24, she takes him now with three bulls. Not just the sacrifice of a son, but she takes three bulls. This is an entire sacrifice. This is a consecrated sacrifice. This is dedication. You know, I saw a documentary on a certain Muslim family, and there they were, a number of children, and there, three times a day, they kiss the earth. There, their little toddlers, two-year-olds, are taught in nappies, touch the ground, kiss the earth. A false god. A false god. Friends, how is our dedication? How is our consecration? How is our family altar? How is it? We have the living God and the living Word. This world is so blinding. The things of this earth are passing. God wants His altar established in the midst of us, in the midst of the family unit. Look at her dedication. Look at her single-mindedness. She brings him up. They slaughter the bull. They bring the child to Eli. And she says, "My Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshipped the Lord there. Are you a dedicated Christian this morning? Are you a consecrated believer? Do you have a single-mindedness for God? Do you have a single-mindedness? A holy dedication to Him? Are you an attentive Christian? An attentive Christian. Consider the boy. Consider the boy now in the courts of the temple. Consider his settledness. He was barely weaned. Consider his stillness. Consider the preparedness of the heart. in 1 Samuel, the Lord again, as we have read earlier, calling to Samuel, calls Samuel, Samuel, and he answers, "Here I am!" Exclamation. Here I am. Consider his stillness. Be still and hear the voice of God. In 1 Kings, the prophet stands before the earthquake. He stands before the fire, but the Lord is not in these. He's not in the whirlwind after the fire. A still, small voice. God, in the midst of life's voices, in the midst of life's whirlwind, in the midst of life's troubles, the voice of God. The world wants to wrap you around its finger. It wants to have you. It wants to have you. It wants to have your children. Make no mistake. But the living God, He is above all of that. And He is able to do all and exceedingly above all that we can ask and think. He's able to do that in your life, in your family life. Do we reject the calls and the voices of the world? It's everywhere, isn't it? Every billboard, every newspaper, every show, everywhere around you. There it is. But the children of God stand up and say, "No, no, I'm dedicated. I am consecrated. I'm waiting to hear from my God. I will be still." Note, after his stillness, his willing obedience. Did he just get up and wander over to Samuel? No. He ran, friends. So he ran to Eli. He stood up and said, "Here I am." And he runs to Eli. The Lord calls again. And he arises and goes again. He goes quickly. We would do well to be willing and obedient to our Lord. He looks for willing obedience. He looks at that in our children. That's my desire as a parent, to have that willing obedience. Look at this boy. He's barely weaned. And we would do well as parents to teach our children to come when they are called, that they would come quickly. Because one day Christ will call them. And they would be trained as young children, that they would respond eagerly and willingly. Now it takes time and patience. Their hearts and their wills are not inclined to do that. Most of them, you get some jewels, you get some precious gems. But most of the time, the heart is set on rebellion, isn't it? And so we must teach the early years, work on correction, work on love. Work on bending the will of your child. Bending its will. Not destroying it, but bending it toward obedience, so that it may be a willing and obedient child, that one day when Christ calls for your child, it may hear and eagerly respond and come quickly to the call of the gospel, to the voice of God. He ran. You know, we have a great contrast here. Eli, he's rebuked in this book for his lack of chastisement toward his boys. He's rebuked because they went astray. Oh, they were still in church, but they were sleeping around. They were taking bribes. They looked a bit religious from the outside, but they were wicked men. Look at the difference. Eli is rebuked for not chastising, for not bringing his children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that means loving correction. We need this, friend. Our family life needs this. And then, only by God's grace alone, a child can respond. A child can respond. God working in the heart. Look at his maintained obedience. He comes again. The voice is given three times. And he maintains his obedience. At the mouth of two and three witnesses, a matter is established. God calls. God makes his word clear and reveals himself to this boy. Speak, for your servant hears. Is that our heart this morning as God's people? We come to God and we ask, God, speak to me. God, make your voice clear to me. Eli's eyes were growing dim, and spiritually he could no longer discern the word of God. God was raising up another in his place. Now I've got a call in all this. I've got a call. Is there someone here amongst us whom God is calling to preach? I've got two calls. The Spirit has impressed this on my heart. Is there some young man in here? A man whom God is calling to preach. Whom the Spirit of God is calling to the ministry, to the work of the gospel. Is God calling? Has the Holy Spirit been impressing this burden on you? And it's remaining on you. And you can't escape it. Has God been calling? Will you heed him? Will you heed him this morning? There are not enough men preaching out there. You realize the fields are truly white under harvest. They may not be in your backyard or in your neighborhood or in your street. They may be. They may be in Jerusalem or Judea or Samaria or to the furthest parts of the earth. But the Spirit is strongly impressed on me to give this call. Is there a man among us whom God is calling to preach? Whom God is calling to the ministry? We live in desperate times. In times of famine and thirst. Not for religious exercise, but for hearing the words of God. For hearing the words of God. There is a call. God is calling men to stand up and to preach the word, to be instant in and out of season. If God is calling you, friend, do not reject his call. Come willingly to him and consecrate yourself wholly to him and to this ministry. If God is calling you to preach, that you might be one who stands and ministers the word of God, it will require your consecration. It will require your dedication. It will require your stillness and hearing from him. It will require your obedience and your continued obedience. Is God calling anyone this morning? Oh, I feel strongly impressed to say that. And what about you, friend? Have you experienced his word? Do not let your eyes grow dim. Do not let your eyes grow dim as Eli's. He forsook to love God with all his heart and all his soul and all his mind and all his strength. And his eyes, his spiritual eyes began to grow dim. He no longer hears from God as he should, friend. That's not the mark of Christian life. The mark of Christian life is, as Peter spoke to us before, that when I am old and when I am grey and when I am about to go away, as we heard from Spurgeon's quote yesterday morning, I am nearer, I hear clearer than ever before. Oh, that is the call of God to each and every one of us. To be still, to hear his voice. These things I've spoken to you, being yet present with you, the Lord Jesus. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He is here. He is not left. He is near unto you. Where is the word? It is nigh unto you. It is in your mouth, it is in your heart. It is nigh unto you. And he will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Be still. Do not let this world take God's peace from your heart. The peace that passes understanding. The chasing, as we heard yesterday morning, the chasing of pleasures and titles and pursuits and possessions is all vanity. It is all vanity. What did you need to bring to this weekend? A sleeping bag and a couple of sheets? What do you need? The Lord says, the clothes on your back and food in your mouth, let us be there with content. That is the position. That is the disposition of the heart. Contentment. Whatever my lot in life, a contentment. Peace I leave with you. Peace. Be still. Be still. And know that I am God. Let your heart not be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Don't let it be fearful for the future. Let it not be fearful for calamity that might come. For loss. God has not told us to live in fear, but in a spirit of rejoicing, and to live by faith. Let not your heart be troubled. How can this word, which I've preached to you this morning, how can this word bear the most fruit in your life? When this ground is not troubled, when this ground is fertile, when this ground is as the heart of a child, such as Samuel, speak for your servant ears. Let's pray. Lord, how precious are your words to us. Oh Lord, how numerous are your benefits. How can we count them? Father, I pray that we could catch a glimpse this morning of you, the Father, desiring to speak, to commune, to communicate with your creation. Oh God, I pray for the call that was made this morning to one, to two, to whoever is called to preach this morning. To rise up, to consecrate and dedicate their life to that service. God, won't you continue to impress that burden on that person's heart? I pray for your glory's sake. And I pray for all of us, Lord. May we know your nearness. May we know in the multitude of voices that small, still voice coming, saying, come unto me, ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Yes, Lord, we want to learn of you. There you are, lowly and coming and sitting upon a donkey. And Lord, if we don't praise you, we know the rocks will cry out and give you glory. But we are privileged this morning, Lord. We are privileged to know you. We are privileged to draw near to you. We want to draw near to the heart of God in that place of stillness, in the place of quiet rest. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our midst, for what you've done yesterday, what you'll continue to do today. It will be done to your glory, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Our last hymn this morning, Near to the Heart of God, There Is a Place, Quiet Rest.
Amen.
It's not found in this world. It's not found in this society, who deep down desperately are empty. But let's sing this.